Welcome to the Beat Red Podcast, a podcast where we talk about all things embarrassing. We tell our stories. You tell your stories. We all laugh together. We are here to bring levity to your day. And thank you so much for being here. I'm Mary Kate.
And I'm Katie. Let's turn Beat
Red. Let's turn Beat Red. Happy 100.
Happy 100. 2 years of Beat Red and 100
My baby was 3 months old when this started.
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
Do you remember the idea was even like longer ago
when that we was were like sitting 10 years ago at this point?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we did it. And we're so grateful for everyone who listens and who's contributed and writes to us and calls up. And like, this has just been such a dream come true. And I'm so happy we're at 100 episodes.
That's wild. Yeah. I just can't believe it's been 2 years. I will never forget that day when we went to lunch and we talked about it and you brought it up and I had been thinking about it, but I was like, no, she's got a newborn. And like, I cannot bring this up to her.
Oh,
and you're
I'm
like,
so
do you want to finally do the podcast? And I was like, oh.
And then you did. And we have this amazing studio that we work
We couldn't
at
do it without Matt and Project
we
Studios.
We could not do it without Matt at Project Studios, Project LA, right? Project Studios. But sorry, LA, I say LA because we're in LA. But
Project Studios, LA. We could not do it without Matt
he's a dreamer too, and like he's made this beautiful space, and this is where people come and they like realize their dreams.
If you're in LA and you want to get a podcast started, this is the place to start. He could not make it any easier for us. Like it made everything come together. So
it did.
Thank you, Matt, and thank you for 100 episodes in 2 years to everybody. It's crazy.
All right, no one else you want to thank? Okay, I guess I'll thank myself. I'd like to thank myself for the hard work of editing, arranging, mixing, and creating the original music for this podcast. You really worked hard, and you know, at times you didn't think you could get it done working two jobs. You were able to mix a podcast every week, and it's just amazing all the support that you have gotten from yourself.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's so crazy. It's been so fun. I want to say to you, Katie, it has brought me, through so much because, you know, starting it with a little baby and like just no sleep and all the worries of the world. Look what we've come through. We came through the fires and we've come through this crazy administration and come through all this stuff. It's like we're here.
On the precipice of World War III. We are still going through it.
We're still going to tell embarrassing stories. We're still going to laugh at each other's I like to say rising from the from our pratfalls. Like, you know, it is about embarrassing. It's also about, you know, it happens to everyone and people get back up.
Well, it's just really funny to me now that we have done 100 episodes and heard, you know, almost 1,000 stories. It's like looking over what people get embarrassed about, because now I'm like, not good enough. Like, you know, people get embarrassed like, oh, I went out, you know, and my shirt was on backwards. And that's like a huge embarrassment for somebody. And it's like their top embarrassment. And we're like, we have people that are doing some crazy shit. So it's just
people, us.
But it also like helps soften the blow when things happen to me. Even I'm like, whatever, at least I didn't shit my pants all over that airplane or like whatever it is, you know, that we've read like these crazy ass stories. It really does help you to get desensitized to embarrassment and be like, who cares? It happens to everybody. It's funny. And let's laugh about it and, you know, try to bring some levity to this crazy ass world. Because what else can you do?
It's a great equalizer. It's like music. Embarrassment is like music. It is a great equalizer. It doesn't matter how much money you have or how much, you know, I don't know, what level of song is in your heart. It is, you're still going to fall down the stairs.
Yeah.
Is the takeaway.
It's inescapable. Yeah, it does. Embarrassment knows no bounds. And that's pretty great. Yeah, happens to all of us. It's universal. And I love that. I love that for us.
I love that for us. And we love all our people who listen. Thank you so much for being with us and for coming on and just being here.
How was your week?
Oh, girl. Oh, how was my week? Well, I mean, I will say last night I saw live music. So that was great. I went to go see this band called the Strumbellas.
Okay, I don't know them. Mm-mm.
So the song that they know that's famous that they sing is like the song that goes like, there's guns in my head and I won't go. Spirits in my head. And so I didn't know very much about them, but our friend Kat was like, let's go. I'm like, okay. So we go and I'm like, somehow I'm pushed to the front. So it's like, okay. And it's an all ages show. So there's like 8-year-olds next to me. Like, aww. I'm like, okay, all right. What are we doing here? And I'm like a little skeptical. So it's like, oh my God, live music. And what are we doing? Like, I'm breathing into everyone's ears.
It?
This is crazy. It was the Regent. So okay. It's a small venue.
Yeah.
So, and then they start. And like, before I know it, I'm like raising my hands like, Angela Gray. Oh no. Like, I'm like this 8-year-old and I high-fived. Like, it was like amazing. I turn around, cute. I'm like looking at all ages and all walks of life, and we're just singing the same song. It was so great.
Live music is the best. That was a highlight. I will miss the bowl forever. I got to come out and go to a show because I will miss our bowl days.
You gotta come out.
I've been missing LA a lot lately, I have to say. Girl, like a lot.
But you know, yeah. I think it's understandable. Is one of the reasons because it's winter, and another reason's because like it's you're in it. You are in it. You're going every day and submerged in your family and
it's
everything that's happening.
Yeah, it's a lot.
What's
it's not the winter.
I
actually love the winter. I love that I'm getting to wear all of these coats that I held on to for years.
You look amazing.
I was like, one
every
day
time
I'm gonna
you.
Be able to wear this, and it's true.
Kate,
so I'm glad
you're
I held
killing
this.
It.
It's not the winter. It's just, you know, sometimes I'll just think, oh, like I'll like see a video online of like a friend that's like at the Topanga Flea, and I'm like, oh, I want to go. Oh. I can't go to the Topanga Flea.
Yeah.
Or I'm seeing like a restaurant that I want to go to or like whatever. It was so, you know, such a huge part of my life for so long that it's weird. It's weird to not have access to all of those spaces and places and friends that I want to see when I want to see them. So like that is definitely like hitting me 6 months in. I'm like, but you know, luckily I do have, you know, one of my best friends here that I grew up with. And so obviously good. Like I'm pretty much only seeing my parents at this point. Like it's been a lot with my dad. He's going through it. And so we've got his medication fixed up. So we are hoping to see an improvement with that. And
good.
Yeah, it's just been a lot. Sebastian has a soccer tournament tomorrow. So that's exciting.
Yes, it is. How's he doing?
He loves it and he's doing great. Yeah, like they won Thursday night. I'm like, was that? No, 2 nights ago, Thursday night. Yes. And they were the underdogs. Like this team has like 4 really good strikers. They're better, you know? And we were the underdogs and they played their little butts off and they won. And I was so proud of them. I was like, oh, they did it. Like I was like screaming. Raj was like, shut up, get out of my ear. Like I was like screaming my head off. I was like clapping so loud. And yeah, I was so excited.
You're so proud.
I was
so
proud. And all of them, I was just like, oh my God, you guys did it. Cause in the beginning, the other team scored like in the first like minute and I'm like, ah, damn it.
Like this let the psychological warfare begin.
Yeah. But no, they freaking had such a comeback. It was so exciting. I love watching him play.
I was going to say, watching him take in that lesson too, of like, oh.
Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Yeah, don't give up. Never give up.
Yeah, never give up. Unless you edited, mixed, and arranged a podcast for 100 episodes and no one thanked you for it. Just my 2 cents.
Who put this thing together? Me! That's who!
You got to keep fighting. That's a lesson for everybody. Don't give up. You never know what's right around the corner. And that is true for every aspect of life. Like, you really never know what's around the corner. Your life can look... I could not have imagined 6 months ago, a year ago, what my life would look like right now. Like, there's no way. And I can't imagine what it's going to look like 6 months from now because I know how much changes in that amount of time. So,
100%. And I was thinking about this on the way over. Like, if you had told my little 8-year-old self singing to myself in the mirror, the Aladdin, you know, I can show you the world song, that I was going to have a podcast with 100 episodes, I would have slapped your latte right out of your face, right out of your hand.
Well, you've done much more than that, my friend. You've done much more than that.
No, that this to me is like so. I'm so honored and happy. They love what we're doing.
It's so
but like
exciting.
If you told me,
yeah,
I was gonna be like, I mean, I just you never know. You just never know.
Yeah. So if you're like, you know, in the process of like hoping on a dream or like waiting on something, you hold on to that hope. You never know what's gonna happen. You never know what's gonna change in 6 months, you know, or a couple years. Like, just keep going. Keep going.
There is
happiness around the corner if you're not feeling it now.
Yes, there is. Yes,
so,
there is.
Let's laugh together.
Let's do it.
Do you want me to start?
Okay.
I'll do it.
Yay.
Okay. This first story comes from Cora, and Katarina Moniz writes, One of the many awkward moments I had in my life were in both situations very similar to each other, yet I kept forgetting to stop doing it. You'll understand very soon what I mean by this. I think this one is so funny. So while I was a teenager, I used to swing my arms back and forth when I walked. I have no clue why I used to do that, but it was amusing to me. And at the same time, I did it unconsciously in most cases while I was walking. I'm like, I could see myself doing that when I was a kid. You know, you just like swish your whole body. But like when you're a teen is like really funny that she's like walking with like her entire body.
Exactly.
In one of my walks and being the absent-minded kid, teen, adult that I still am, I was doing this. The problem is I was walking fast, so my arms were swinging even faster than usual. And for some odd reason, my hand was open while I was doing that. There was a guy in front of me, which I was trying to pass by. But for some reason, and well, I think you can guess what happened. Suddenly you hear a pow. That's right. My hand hit right on his butt super hard. The guy whips around to check out who just slapped him in the ass, and my heart drops. The most handsome guy I've ever seen at the time. Yeah. My cheeks must have been bright red. I have no clue. All I know is I felt cold and hot at the same time, and I profusely apologized for what I'd just done.
Both your cheeks were bright red. His was too.
Yeah. His reaction was to giggle and say, it's fine. And he patted me on the head because I was and still am a petite person. I felt even more embarrassed after that and ran away. But I didn't learn my lesson. Oh, no. Walking and swinging my hands yet again. I come across a rush hour crowd in the opposite direction of me. And then I hear the sound again. Pow! I yet again hit someone else, but instead of the rear end, it was the front.
No, see, all, that's the thing. You hit someone in the balls?
All I heard was, ouch. And when I look up in total embarrassment to apologize right away, my blood disappeared. It was the same guy.
It
wasn't. The poor guy looked down on me with a puzzled and painful look. And all I could say is, you? I kid you not, I actually said that. We stared at each other for I don't even know how many minutes. It felt like hours until eventually I apologized a whole bunch and I just ran away. I couldn't look at his face anymore. So yes, after those experiences, I just keep my hands in my pockets. They are safer there. Bad, bad hands. I'm like, what if that's your soulmate? I feel like that's your soulmate. You smacked him in the ass and the balls and like, you know, not on the same day. It was different times.
You have to ask yourself, why is this happening? Okay. You did it once in the butt. Hello. And then in the front. I mean, the ball's like, that's a soul connection right there.
She's like reversed though. Do you remember that episode of Seinfeld with Molly Shannon where she like doesn't swing her arms and Elaine's like, swing your arms. And she's like this. But I'm like just picturing her like flinging her arms like a crazy person when she's walking. And imagine walking next to her. You're like, oh, Jesus, got to get out of the way here.
Yeah.
But she went into a crowd and just watch out, like smacked him in the balls, smacked him in the ass. It's pretty funny. But
he must have thought, what do you think he thought? Do you think he was like, what is she?
Yeah, he was probably like, okay, like, calm down.
Like, I know I'm hot.
But maybe, I don't know, a double unintentional smack. She didn't even know it was him. Maybe that was your soulmate. So if
do you think
you
would give someone your number?
And you remember her, go look for her. Maybe
go,
it was meant to be.
Just start leading with your crotch out as soon as you start walking today. You might walk into your house. Soulmate.
No, now she's walking with her hands in her pockets. She did learn her lesson. It just took two smacks to get there.
Katie, they're never going to meet. Her hands
maybe
are in
they
her
will.
Pockets.
Maybe they will.
Yeah. Yep.
Let's hope.
Let's hope
for a reunion.
Okay. It's from Cheryl in Philadelphia. Thank you so much, Cheryl, for writing in. We really appreciate it. All the way from Philly. It's got
to
be freezing.
Hey,
now.
Close to me. Love it.
Hey, close to you. Okay. So Cheryl writes, I was working for Amazon during an ice storm. I'm a veteran at driving in cold weather. I was born for it. I was like that kid walking to school in sub-zero temperatures. I bled to sled. All of it. Now, my family has lived in Philly for generations, and we all thrive in cold weather. Anyone who's grown up in 8 months of winter can understand it's in the blood. I can go on. But this is,
I don't think it's that cold in Philly.
I'm like, I grew up in 8 months of winter and I did not move as soon as I could. Yeah. I love hot yoga. Here we go. I could go on, but this is all to say that driving in a little ice storm doesn't bother me. I also wasn't driving the Amazon truck this day. I was delivering a few packages before my other job. So I'm in my comfy car, heat blasting, tune shredding, when all of a sudden I hit a little patch of black ice, which is really scary. Have you ever hit black ice when you're driving?
Yeah,
you
very have? Scary. Yeah.
Katie, you're like, yes.
My car starts, it is very scary.
It's so scary. My car starts to turn. You know, it's doing a 360. So I go into pump the brakes mode. Not panicked because I can see clearly that I'm staying on the road and there are no cars around. I'm just spinning in a circle.
Oh my gosh.
So that's so scary. I've had that happen to me. So I pump the brakes while my car goes for the gold medal in figure skating. Finally, I come to a slow stop and turn the car off. Sure, I landed perfectly backwards in what could be called a parking spot along the curb, but no one was hurt. And when I looked at the addresses around where I was, the place I was delivering this package to was right there. What are the odds?
Perfect.
You're like, whoa, hockey stop. And then you're like, just have to get there. It's perfect. What a blessing. So I unbuckle, slowly get out and sort of do a little slip slide like I'm on the elliptical, walk all the way up to the front door. I place the package on the doorstep and just do a little shimmy shake for all the effort. I do a little gratitude dance, just like a little rum shaker with my arms up, you know, because I made it. I slid on the ice, found the house and delivered the package safe and sound. Get back to my car and my tunes and think nothing of it. And I head to work. The embarrassing part is later that evening when I'm sitting at my local bar, having slipped all the way there on foot. My buddy taps me on the shoulder as I'm finishing my second beer and says, "Hey, Cheryl, is this you?" He shows me his phone. What am I looking at? It's a Facebook post that says, "Amazon delivers." And it's my car turning around slowly in front of a house, my little slip and slide walk to the front door, and my little shimmy after I drop that package. All from the Ring camera I hadn't seen.
Yeah.
That's so embarrassing.
Those are happening more and more. Yeah.
I know people. Well, and also what I love is like when people steal packages and they get caught, you know what I mean? Like the ring light's like, you're busted. I am so embarrassed. My friend then shouts to the whole bar that I'm famous. Everyone sees the video. I never asked to go viral or whatever, but I am glad Amazon got the credit for my service.
Oh, nice.
Amazon, nice. You hook Cheryl up with some free stuff.
Yeah, she better get the goods
she
for all
a
that.
Bouncy house for that. Yeah,
for bouncing that ass, she gets a bouncy house. Okay,
Katie.
Yeah,
just adding that Cheryl has some junk in her trunk. Okay.
This next story is anonymous, and she writes, "This happened a few years ago, but I still cringe whenever I think about it, and it definitely changed my eating habits before a hair appointment. On the night before the incident, I ate salmon for dinner with some broccoli and cauliflower from one of my favorite fish spots near my house. I went to sleep right after I ate because I was exhausted and I knew I had a hair appointment early in the morning. I woke up super early to go to the salon, and as I was getting dressed, I started passing gas."
I think passing gas
is the funniest word.
Passing gas. Like can you pass me the gas?
I started passing gas. It smelled like rotten garbage.
Okay.
My stomach was upset, but I couldn't miss my hair appointment, so off I went on a wing and a prayer. As I'm getting my hair done in the salon, I am squeezing my butt cheeks together in that chair and holding in my farts because I know it stinks really bad.
Oh my God, this person. I do love how she's like, after I ate that salmon, I was exhausted. I had to go to bed.
I know.
There's something wrong with the salmon.
At this point in my visit, I am almost done now with my hair under the hot ass dryer. I tried to hold in this fart, but I felt the heat burning on both ends as it was trying to come out. I tried my best, literally doing everything I could so it wouldn't come out. But unfortunately, 15 seconds later, it squeaked its way out. This fart was so foul. The whole salon smelled it. It would not go away.
Get out of here.
Even with the door open and the AC on, they were so pissed. No one would get near me because the smell was the worst next to me. It was obvious I was the culprit.
Oh,
people were laughing because I was embarrassed and scared. As I was finally on to my final, I know, I thought the scared part was so funny. So like, scared. I'm scared. That fart was scary. She's like, what's coming out of my ass?
She's like, my butt is not the same butt.
As I was finally on to the final touches of my hair, the hairdresser cut my hair too much and messed it up. It was super uneven. I was too embarrassed to even say anything, so I just left quickly as I could, even with my messed up hair. My mom had an appointment the next day and said when she walked in, it still stunk, and the hairdressers were all talking about it. This was a sign to never come back again. Still to this day, I'm embarrassed, and it's right by my house.
Yeah, you gotta.
What
not
kind
walk
of diabolical fart is that that stinks the next day? That is
the next day. I mean, did she poop her pants?
Even still, she would have had to left some poop in the salon chair that
open
wasn't
a window.
Cleaned.
Yeah, open.
She
a
said
window.
It was open. She said the windows were open and the AC was on, and the smell would not go away. That salmon and cruciferous veggies was
cruciferous. Rank. Yeah, I mean rank. The cauliflower and broccoli combo. Mm-hmm. That's a 1-2 punch. That's a knockout. Oh, my God. That's funny.
She knocked the whole salon out with that one.
She knocked the whole salon out, and she knocked her haircut out, too. Okay. This is from Reddit, and Gorilla Riot writes, I was put on bridge duty while stationed in Korea, basically checking IDs of any tourist buses going north of the Imjeong River to see the DMZ. So I looked up what is the DMZ, right? Mm-hmm. And it is the Korean Demilitarized Zone, which is basically like a heavily fortified sort of like buffer zone that separates North and South Korea. Mm-hmm. It's like a de facto border. Anyways, back to the story. I was told all I got to do when the bus arrives is stand at attention, sling my rifle, announce the unit motto, check everyone's IDs. When finished, salute, and exit the bus. Easy peasy. That sounds like a hard job to me already.
Yeah, no thanks.
I couldn't do it. First
I already
bus
forgot
arrived.
Everything you just said.
Yeah. I remember the salute. I would just be like, I would kill the salute. I would really slay at that. Okay, anyway. First bus arrives. I get confused on the order of things. I trip on the steps and hit my head hard on the door frame.
Oh,
impulsively
no.
Yelling, motherfucker. That's how he enters the bus. I get to the front and try slinging my rifle, accidentally hitting the driver in the back of his head.
Ooh.
Nearly dropping the unloaded rifle. Can you imagine?
No.
The driver's just like waiting for the instructions of what you're doing, and he gets slammed by the butt of your gun. Jeez.
Could have knocked him out.
I know. You could have slammed his head on the driving wheel and been like, ugh, like driven off the bridge.
The driving wheel. The driving wheel.
Sorry. Thanks for pointing out my shameful mistake. Okay, so after he like basically knocks the driver out, I'm so embarrassed and in a state of shock at not just my actions, but also the surprising amount of attractive college-age women wanting to see the DMZ. Mm. I start checking IDs, which of course is mostly international passports, of which I have no fucking idea what they're supposed to actually look like. I would barely be able to tell what a U.S. passport was supposed to look like. Which became publicly evident when a passenger handed me a document. I looked it over like I knew what I was doing, handed it back, and she goes, oh, sorry, that's my address book.
Oh, my God.
Here's my passport. Those buses could have been filled with North Koreans with North Korean passports, and I would have been like, well, everything seems to be in order. Welcome to the DMZ, folks. God, I was such a mess. If anyone with any military authority saw that representation display, they would have justifiably thrown me off the bridge and told everyone I must have deserted. Jeez. That's kind of intense.
Yikes.
Can you imagine they're like, you're so unprofessional. Get out. And they throw you over the bridge. And they're like, he deserted. That would have been
even
worse
for the bus trip. Just might.
For the bus load. Anyway.
Okay, my next story comes from Cora, and David Contreras writes, I was with a woman for 10 years, and after we broke up, I took 8 or 9 months to figure out who I was before I started dating again. The problem for me was that I worked 6 days a week, and I wasn't meeting anyone the old-fashioned way, so I decided to try an online dating site. I matched up with a woman, and after a couple of days of talking briefly about ourselves, and I mean briefly, I asked her out. She accepted my proposal, and I told her about this great place I love to go. We both decided it would be a nice place for a first date. I meet her outside the restaurant, and she took a lift there, and we got a table quickly. I'm not a rich or famous guy, but I do go there fairly often, and all the hostesses and waitresses know me, so I was sat before people who were before me. I felt awkward about that, but what the hell? I was single and on my first date with someone new in 10 years, so I went with it. We sat down and ordered an appetizer and some wine before our meals. The conversation was amazing, and I felt a real connection with this woman.
Yes.
Then it happened. I had just put a piece of the most delicious ribeye I've ever had into my mouth when she said, "I really like you and you seem fun. After dinner, do you want to go back to my place and have sex?" I was flabbergasted, but before I could say anything else, she followed it up with, "But my husband has to watch."
Oh, God. Oh, my God. He's just eating ribeye in the middle of that. She says that. He's not even.
The ribeye got stuck in my throat. I started choking. Luckily, the man at the next table saw me and gave me the Heimlich maneuver and got it up.
Wait.
He literally choked so on the steak. Yes. He was like, what? She's like, "You want to have sex?" He's like, And then she's like, "But my husband has to watch." He's like, he starts.
I wish you could do that again. Go on. That's so funny. I hope we get to see that again.
Straight up. Well, it's on video. So
I know. Oh my God. So funny.
Now, with everyone staring and clapping because I had just been saved, I shook the guy's hand and asked if I could pay for his and his date's meal. He thanked me for the offer but declined. I insisted that I at least buy them a round of drinks, and he accepted that. I mean, the guy saved his life.
He saved his life.
I sat back at my table and looked across at her and calmly and politely declined. I told her I had no idea she was even married and I wasn't into that sort of thing. She said she was sorry and thought I knew because it was on her profile.
Oh.
I asked for the check because I didn't see this going anywhere that I wanted to go. As we're walking out of the restaurant, she then said, "Well, what if I gave you a blowjob in the car while I'm on the phone with my husband?"
Oh, my God.
I declined that offer, too, and told her she had two options. She could call her husband to pick her up, or I'll order her a Lyft. She seemed upset about that, but there was no way I was going to let her in my car and go to her house even to drop her off. She decided to call her husband. I got in my car and left. Never answered any of her calls and texts. She was very persistent. I have to give her that.
I love that her husband's like, "Why are you calling me? What? I'm naked here waiting for you to come home to have sex with some stranger. Like, you want me to put my robe on? Now I have to come get you? What about the blowjob in the car? That didn't work out either? Brother hack." I just love that so much.
It's ridiculous.
She's like, tonight was a definite fail.
He's like, she's amazing. Aww, I love her.
Until she asked me to
have sex with her husband.
I like the person who did that. He was a stand-up person. You know, like, hey, I'm looking for love.
Which, hey, no shame, no kink shaming. If that's what you're into, make sure all parties are into it too. But obviously, 100%. He was not really looking at her profile. He said they briefly talked and then met up for a date. So he did not stalk her out and see that she was, in fact, married, which she thought he knew and understood. So, yeah.
So this is the thing I feel like about dating. Once you're getting back out there, right? Like, you don't might be out of practice in that someone that you're on a date with, clearly excited about, is gonna, in the middle of a bite of steak, tell you that they want their husband, who you don't know about, to watch you have sex with them.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's heartbreaking in a way, because you're like, I mean, no kink shaming at all. There are websites that are like, I mean, whatever. They're like,
if that's your thing, find someone else that's their thing too. But yeah, what a disappointment that, like, after 10 years, that's his first date and that's what happened.
I know. It's just like it's just such a crash landing into the dating world.
I wonder how long it took him to date after that, you know?
I know. I wish you would come on the show. If you recognize your story, you better call us. Okay, this is from Anonymous, and they write, "During a fairly unproductive brainstorming session between one client and six colleagues, including me, the client was looking at me when he said we needed to set up a poll because we weren't getting anywhere. This took me aback, but considering his tendency to use anything to generate ideas, I asked if a broomstick would do if we couldn't find a poll anywhere in the office building. He stared at me as if I was bonkers." One colleague broke in by telling him, "We'll contact the market research agency to set one up." Oh, The client wanted a pole, not a pole.
That is hilarious. What a dummy.
I just think that's so funny. He's like, well, wait a minute. We don't have a pole. There's a broom over there. You want to do a broomstick? Like, what did he think we were going to do? Like the limbo? Trying to like jar out
what
ideas?
What do they want the pole for?
They're going to like slap each other on the butt. My entire body, especially my butt cheeks and toes, clenched in mortification at that realization and stayed clenched for the rest of the session.
Yeah, no, that's so embarrassing.
That's so embarrassing.
That's like such a dumb. I mean, we've all had those moments where you misunderstand someone and say something really stupid, but that's
it comes from a good place. You know, he's like, I want to help. I want to help. How can I help? A broomstick, of course. And then it's like, you're the biggest idiot.
You're dumb.
You're dumb. Clench those butt cheeks because you're dumb.
I'm sure you're not dumb. It just it happens to all of us. That's what this
is. No, you're not dumb.
It happens to all of us.
Say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happens to all of us.
I told you one of my favorite dumb moments, I won't even say blonde because I know that's, A, I'm not blonde, and B, you know, blondes are not dumb. Anyway, but I've told this on here before, but Kristen and I were out at a skating rink, and at that time I still drank, and I was drinking, I was like 22, drinking super strong, like vodka soda. And I was like, oh my God, this is so strong. And she hands me another cup, and she's like, here, mix it. And I literally put it in top of the cup and did this. Doing it, she looks at me in horror, and I realize I was like, okay, I got it. But yeah, so we've all had those moments, but that's one of my favorites.
I was bartending at this club in where was it, Bushwick, Brooklyn, and they gave me this lady was like, I'd like a chilled shot, please, and I'm like, no problem. I poured vodka and put it in the freezer, and it was like, come back in half an hour, we'll see you soon. She's like, what? Like, I'd never bartended before, but I thought I just put it in the freezer to chill.
She asked you for a chilled shot, and that's what you did? That's hilarious.
And I did that. And then she's like, what? And then, I mean, I lasted like one night. But yeah,
We've all done it. Poles, brooms, it happens. Yep. Okay, this next story is anonymous, and he writes, when I was 22, my mom set me up with the daughter of a friend of hers. She showed me a few pics, and I thought she was cute, so I agreed. We planned to go to Texas Roadhouse, and I was to pick her up at 8. I arrived at her place at exactly 8 p.m., not a minute late, not a minute early.
Nice.
This man is punctual. When she walked out the door, she was looking gorgeous, way hotter than her pics. So hot that I stuttered, saying, hi, and my name. Her response was, what? And I awkwardly stuttered and repeated my name again. Oh, hey. And then I stuck out my hand for a handshake. And when our hands connected, I bowed my head to her as if I was giving her a nod of respect. This was so stupid on my part. And I regretted it in the moment I saw my feet. A hug would have been much better.
He just a handshake. Did a bow. Like, yeah. Hi, I'm
Mary Kate. He stuck out his hand and then he did a bow. He bowed down to her beauty. As we were driving to the Texas Roadhouse, I couldn't think of a single thing to say. I was too nervous to even look at her. I just kept my eyes on the road for the most part. Thank God Texas Roadhouse was close by. So they didn't talk. He's just driving. He like won't look at her. He's like, oh my God, she's so hot. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Oh my God. I got a 10. I get it. She's a 10. She's a perfect 10. She smells so good. Her hair is so good.
Yeah. Inside the restaurant, we got seated and I ordered some alcohol. I mentioned I was 22 and I could buy her a drink if she wanted. She said, sure. And I bought her alcohol. Thank God I didn't get in trouble for that because she was only 20.
Whew. Oh, okay.
You're like, how old is this girl?
I'm like, what is happening?
She thought it was funny our mom set this date up. I said, yeah, it's a first for me too. Little did she know, it was actually my first date.
Aww, no
little
way.
Sweet baby.
I'm in love with this person.
She also liked the fact that I was 22. I tried to get a picture of the two of us on my phone, but she said, no thanks. I never look good in pictures. I gave her a stare and had her take one of me being funny, holding up my ID. Then things took a drastic turn for the worst. We both sat there in awkward silence. I had nothing to say. My mind felt like it was on pause. I'd already asked her if she works out. it's like that's oh, like,
God. Oh my God.
That's like that's such so a terrible sad. Question anyway. It's hilarious. Like, he's like, I already asked her that. What else am I supposed to say?
That was my whole list.
Yeah. That was my whole list.
She said yes and now we're fucked.
She said yeah. It's like so funny to me.
Like, where do you go from there? Do you take walks? No, that's like way before. I can't believe that.
God
love
him. Do you
have anything else to say?
So I panicked and I said, do you like video games? She smiled awkwardly and said, no. And I said, well, have you ever played them? She said, yeah. I said, nice. And more awkward silence was in the air.
He's like sucking down his Long Island iced tea so fast.
I was getting more and more nervous. And I was uttering out the most idiotic things. Then I said, do you like daggers? She said, what? I've never really thought about them before. Do you like daggers? He's like, there's one in my heart right now.
So funny.
I could see her looking at her phone, looking at her hair, looking at her shirt. Then I started getting really nervous and I had a full-blown panic attack. I couldn't swallow. I felt like I was dying. I started sweating really bad and I started using all the napkins to wipe my face and my forehead. She started getting scared and she was like, oh my God, are you all right?
Oh my God.
I closed my eyes to try to focus on other things, hoping the panic would just go away. It didn't. I then put my head down on the table with both hands over my head and I focused on my breathing in and out.
I love him.
I know.
I want to hug him so bad. I want to hug him and I want to get like just give him a high five and tell him I like daggers.
It's so sweet and precious, but she's sitting there like, what the fuck? Yeah, like at this point, he's full on just, he's used up all the napkins at the table. He's sweating profusely. He's head down on the table, just breathing in and out.
She's looking at her phone like it's a mirror. Girl, get into the conversation. It takes two to tango. You ask him why he likes daggers and what kind of daggers does he like?
She wasn't into it, and that's okay too. Can't say I fault her there.
It's true. It's true.
Okay.
Oh, man.
So I was focused on breathing in and out, but I was really freaking out. I was thinking I was dying. Eventually, it became so unbearable. I got up and made my way to the restroom. I looked in the mirror and saw nothing but a man with no confidence, a man too scared. I know this breaks my heart. A man too scared to even look at a girl, let alone talk to one. A man with nothing to lose. A man that needs to change. For this isolation and solitude has made me even more awkward than I was before. However, considering I hadn't even talked to a female in several months, this behavior was to be expected, but not to this degree. So I assume he's probably just like playing video games and his mom's like, let me set him up with someone. Let's get him out of the house, you know?
Yeah. You can really psych yourself out. I've definitely been there. Have you?
I've never had a full-blown panic attack, fortunately. Yeah. But I mean, they're supposed to be terrible. And I feel so bad for people that have them. And obviously he was like, I think he thought she was just going to be like her pictures, which was cute. And then she ended up being so hot in person to like him that he like just lost it. Like he was like, oh my God, she's so good for me, you know, and just like couldn't hold it together, which is like poor
like
sweet baby.
He's not good enough for her. And that's like what's heartbreaking. It's like, come on, man. I bet you're gorgeous.
I've definitely felt nervous around hot people for sure. Like I think everybody gets that. Yeah. So it's like, this is like just up to the next degree, you know? Yeah. I vomited in the toilet. I washed my face off with water, patted it dry. Then I tried to confidently walk back to the table. The girl looked scared to death. She said,
oh my God,
do you need to go home? Do you like need some medicine or something? Me, no, I just got a little lightheaded. I think it's the spicy food. She gave me a what the fuck look. I had the waiter bring me water. About 5 seconds after getting the water, I spilled it on the table. Fuck my life.
Oh my God.
It's like
I got nothing.
This poor guy, this entire day is just a catastrophe.
This is a catastrophe.
We then decided it was time to leave. When getting into my car, she put her hand on the door to open it and I yelled, "Halt!" and moved her hand away and opened the door for her. She laughed and said,
"I love
thanks.
Him. He is a valiant warrior knight and he is opening the door for his beautiful, beautiful princess.
While driving, I asked if she wanted to do something else tonight. She said she was really tired and was probably just going to go to bed. When we pulled up to her place, she said, "Thanks for the meal. I hope you're feeling better soon." I told her, "No, I'm fine. Spicy food just makes me woozy." I then thought to myself, this is never going to come my way again. Not with a girl this hot.
Oh, God. He's
so I put my hand on her thigh and said, "Would it be all right if I kissed you?" She said, "Sorry, I don't kiss on the first date." I said, "Oh, hopefully. Would you like to go out with me again sometime?" She hesitated and said, "Yeah, but only as friends." I felt my heart drop. With a look of disappointment, I said, "Okay, cool. I had fun tonight." And she said, "Yeah." And she left.
She just said, "Yeah."
I mean, that date was a disaster. Imagine being on the other end of it. Like, God love him. I feel so bad for him. Like, that poor sweet baby, like, just having, you know, he's just not emotionally, like, ready for this. And he's, you know, having this anxiety panic attack. But on her end, she's like, what the fuck, bro? Do I like daggers? Do I work out? Do I like video games? Like, that's it. That's the extent of our conversation. He's completely having a full-on meltdown at the table and spilling water and, like, just...
Yes, 100%. But I will say, turning to the other side of the table, you have a little bit, I mean, you don't have any responsibility, but like maybe try to like make him a little more comfortable rather than just like rolling your eyes and looking like you're like really
well. She
and
asked him if he was okay, if he needed to leave, if he needed medicine.
Right.
But
that's true.
We also need to look at the fact that like maybe she saw him, he was excited, she was like disappointed. You know, yeah. Like you can't make yourself feel a spark for someone. Like you either have it or you don't. Like they don't have to be attractive, they have to be attractive to you. Like you have
that's
that.
True.
I've been attracted to plenty of ugly people, but you have to like feel that attraction to them. There has to be a spark. Like there's either a spark or there's not, right. You know?
Right.
So she may have seen him and been like, ugh, you know?
Well, and I'll give her credit to just be honest and say, you know what, next time we hang out, we'll be friends. That's good. Cause so many people probably, I mean, I don't know, been like, maybe, sure. And then like just not know how to get out of it, but just be honest.
She was honest. So good for her.
And I just think it's kind of a great compliment that he had such a panic attack because she was so hot.
I know. I mean, that is a super embarrassing date. And that's his first freaking date. I wonder how long it took that poor thing to date again. Like,
Hopefully he got back on the horse.
He still tried to kiss her after all that, after vomiting.
You
got puke breath. Like, you got puke on your breath, and you still tried to kiss her. So you were brave, sir. You were brave. You're going to find somebody.
Brave, and you did take no for an answer, so thank you for that.
I'm sure he found someone, and maybe drop the whole dagger talk. That's a little weird.
Maybe not the daggers until you realize, or maybe just put that on your profile. I love daggers.
You'll find sharp objects. Someone else who's into that. There's people into it. You'll find someone.
Oh, 100%. Are you kidding me? If someone asked me if I was into daggers, I'd be like, well, yes, let's talk about, do you like an ivory handle? Are we doing, not real ivory, because that is bad for elephants, but are
so
we
see,
doing
he should have
like,
gotten you on that date.
Oh, you should have. I would have eaten him up like a little snack. He would have been my snack that day. Okay, so anyways. Just kidding. I mean, look, people are going to listen to this and they're like, she's into romanticies and she likes like dagger talk. Okay, I'll hit her up. My husband's like, Okay, so this is my last story for our hundo. And it is from, Cameron in Winnipeg, Canada.
Okay.
Thank you. All these cold stories. Cameron from Winnipeg, Canada writes, "When I was in high school, I was in a production of William Shakespeare's The Tempest. I wasn't a very good actor, but there weren't a ton of people who auditioned, so I ended up getting the role of Antonio. He's one of the bad guys, but not the main bad guy. Anyway, I had a bunch of lines, so I was happy enough." That hits me so hard because I remember I used to count my lines when I was a kid and be like, "We have 6 lines? What is this slop?" You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, people just count the lines. So it's opening night and I get really nervous. I'm in the first scene and it goes great, though, so my nerves were calmed and I figured I had this in the bag. The second scene I was in was my big one, the one where I had the most lines. I confidently made my entrance. The scene began with some other character talking to mine. He delivered his line, and my mind went blank. I couldn't remember the words.
Oh, no.
The harder I tried to remember, the further the words got from me. I'm not sure how long this went on for, but I started to hear coughs in the audience. The awkward silence had gone on way too long. I've been there. And you can't improvise Shakespeare. You, like, can't.
But why isn't anyone feeding him a line, you know?
Right.
His scene partner even should know it.
Yeah. All of a sudden, for some reason, I just started to awkwardly dance and sing Wannabe by the Spice Girls.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Yo, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. That's what he did. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. Like, he's like in the middle
That's
of his
hilarious.
Antonio.
He pulled the Ashley Simpson jig again. We were just talking about that. He's like, if you, when in doubt, just break
tell
out Spice
want,
Girls.
You brought in the contemporary song. What are you doing? I have no idea why I did it. Maybe I hoped someone would laugh, or maybe I was just uncomfortable with the silence. No one laughed. Just more awkward coughs.
I would have laughed. I definitely would have laughed if I was in the audience.
I would have been like, are you kidding me? Finally, someone picked up the scene like a page later in the script, and everyone went on without any further hitches.
Where's the director?
Yeah, well.
Why is the director not on the sidelines, like, shouting what needs to be said, right?
True. Because I think through this process, we've realized there are a lot of teachers that just don't measure up. They're just like, they just let the kids flounder.
But it falls on them. That's what's weird to me. Like, why is the director not there with the script if they don't already have it memorized, which they should, because they should have rehearsed it 8 million times.
I know, especially Shakespeare. That's crazy. It's weird. No one ever said a word about it except my high school English teacher, who also happened to be the director. Also, he said, all he said was, the show must go on. Gave me a sympathy pat and walked away. That was my last experience acting.
Well, the show did go on after the show, weird little interlude. Nice. I actually have one more quickie.
Yay.
And I just thought it was funny, but it was short. So I was like, let me just add this because it's random.
I love them.
All right. This last little one comes from Quora, and this is a short one from David Franks. I noticed a guy running on the treadmill behind me in the gym mirrors. He was middle-aged like me and had a full head of very floppy hair. He wore one of those Mark Knopf. I don't know who Mark Knopfler is. Do you?
He's a great guitar player.
Okay.
I believe he's a great guitar player, Mark Knopfler. He's the lead singer of Dire Straits. Am I right?
Let me look it up.
Okay, please. I think he is the lead singer of Dire Straits.
Oh my God, you're right. Look at you.
How do I know that?
Amazing.
Katie.
That's honestly iconic. Okay.
Well,
so he apparently had a Mark Knopfler headband to keep his long, luscious hair tamed. I happened to glance up at exactly the opportune moment. With a twang, the headband pinged off his head as he was jogging, along with the floppy wig he was wearing.
No.
The remarkably hairy wig flew straight at the woman on his left, who thought she was being attacked by a hippie vampire bat. I can still vividly recall her terrified shriek and her flailing arms. The suddenly bald dude blushed the reddish shade and rushed out. Poor bloke. He never, ever appeared at the gym again.
I'm dead. I died.
And he lost his wig, poor guy.
He lost his wig and he wore that floppy wig with his bandana.
Because he did one of those, the bandana over the top, and it pinged off his head. But imagine that coming at you. That would be so scary. You're just running on the head on the treadmill and suddenly this big hairy thing comes flying at you. She's like, ah. I was like, oh man, that's pretty
funny.
She
just thinks that some rat fell from the sky and is on her head.
It's so unexpected out of nowhere.
So unexpected and so
poor
good.
Guy.
Katie, that's the best.
That's our show. We hope you loved it. Number 100. Thanks for all your support. If you did, tell a friend. That's how we grow. Rate, review, and subscribe us. That's how we move up the charts. And if you've got a story that made you turn Beat Red, we love that the most. You can email us at beatredpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you want to buy us a coffee, you can go to our Patreon page, which is listed in our show notes. And if you can't beat them,
join us. See you next week.